Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to episode 78 of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts. I'm Hal Gordon.
Hot dog!
And today I'm with my guest, Alex Espinoza.
Hot dog!
There he is. Yeah. All right, so two things different about this podcast. For the first time, obviously, this is Alex's podcast, but I wanted to, at least while we were still in the same country, I wanted to get the Alex Espinoza story.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you listening or watching on YouTube, you'll notice we are sitting next to each other.
I can touch Hal.
In my backyard.
Which I've always wanted to do on the pod.
Yeah. Ooh, very nice. Yeah, so the reason why we're hanging out together is we got the Summer of Cell documentary crew with us here. We're talking to them about,
hence the lighting.
We got some really nice backlighting for this podcast.
We started with the clapper.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. Look at this thing. This thing is official. Look at this thing.
Yeah, there
look
it
at
is.
That. Look at that. It clapper. Says the Ricky Henderson podcast on it. I love it.
But so we had we had Casey on earlier this week. We thought we would, there's been a lot of news coming out quick, fast and quick. So before we get into our interview of my guest, Alex Espinoza.
Happy to be on the pod.
Alex.
First time, long time. Yeah.
Alex, we had two different news stories the last 2 days come out. Both, I think the first one was much bigger of a bombshell. ESPN, they had, we finally heard somebody interview John Fisher who wasn't a stooge.
He interviewed him. I think he broke up his interview into like multiple parts or something, because he published an article like a month ago or something, but it was kind of like along the same lines. But this one was a little bit more revealing, I guess.
Tim Keown.
And it was a great article, really good.
If you haven't read the article, obviously, I mean, obviously, you probably should watch it. Casey had an amazing interview with him, Tim, the night afterwards. And, I mean, it's just, it was so well-sourced. They talked to everybody in Oakland government. Oakland government was, the mayor, Sheng Tao.
Yeah, I just liked how comprehensive it was. Like, it really talked about a lot of stuff. Like, talked about the Giants. Like, it talked about, it touched on pretty much every major thing, you know? Yeah, it was great,
I mean, it's impossible to read that article and feel like, oh, yeah, you know, Oakland, we lost our team, but we were dealing with honest brokers, you know? It's infuriating.
Yeah. And, that's kind of the vibe I've got the whole time, but basically every time that we hear from the A's, it gets worse for me. It doesn't get any better. Like, I think they're trying to cover their tracks, but every time, leadership talks or, Cavill talks, or they give Fisher the okay to talk to another person, but not on camera, I think it just gets worse, and it just further proves that, these guys are, there is no deeper layer. Like, these guys are just idiots. That's it.
I think the root of the issue for the A's right now is that they decided that they can make more money in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
And
Or the rules. I think it's just easier for them to make, to get a stadium.
Right. Vegas. Yeah.
See, I think that's. I think that's the biggest thing.
Right. They're not good at this.
No.
And you know, when I do something that I'm not good at, I like to pick the easy way. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They're just obviously not good at this, and it's just infuriating because the rules of relocation of MLB relocation do not say. Go, you can relocate if you think it'll be a little bit easier or if you think you can make some money.
Yeah.
More money there, right? It says you cannot get a stadium in your current market. And it's just so disappointing.
Like, you mean like, so that's when it goes back to like the, all the stuff they were saying about Coliseum site not being viable. They're like, hey, we exhausted all our options, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's where they're trying to paint it like, yo, we had nothing at Howard Terminal when they clearly did. And like,
yeah.
And Cavill was loving telling you how much progress they had made until it wasn't convenient for them.
Dave Cavill thought about trying to build a stadium at the Coliseum. He decided it would be exhausting. And he said, well, we've exhausted all of our attempts.
That's not how it works. That's like Steve Carell saying, we declare bankruptcy. Like, right. No, dude, that's not how it works.
I mean, really. He's like, that's right. He's like, I declare.
Yeah, we exhausted that option.
Exhausted.
Yeah, I am exhausted. Yeah.
It's just terrible. And then we had Scott Osler come out with an article today in the Chronicle where he had very similar quotes from the mayor and from the mayor's chief of staff, Leah Hansen. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say Leah Hansen has had some pretty good quotes. In the ESPN article, she said,
yeah.
I don't think
I don't think they got cold feet. I think they got an accountant.
They got an accountant. And
like, they didn't have the money for that shit. Yeah.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I will say this. When I was selling hot dogs last year, you know, there would be some fans who, you know, were friendlier with Dave Cavill and stuff and had more information. And that kind of stuff lines up with what they were saying. You know, that kind of stuff is like, is they were just saying like, is that John Fisher just visions himself as this man who's going to make his own money, you know, so he won't be just some Nepo baby anymore. He'll have made his own money.
It's too late.
And he's, you know, but when it comes, you know, when the rubber hits the road, both Cavill and John Fisher were not, they're not real estate developers, right? Like, and of course they got to the point where they realized, oh, like this was too expensive. It was too difficult for us. And you know, that's,
yeah.
I think Tim Key was saying I'm just gonna say Koo because I don't really know his last name is. Yeah. But like he was saying that like John Fisher would like was irritated when he would say, why don't you sell the team? Because Fisher views himself as this Bay Area guy who, if he can't do it, no one can. And so it was making him mad when he was asking, well, other people think they can do it here.
Joe Lacob. Yeah.
Right?
It's just, dude, I think he would. Yeah, honestly, the thing that pissed me off the most about these most recent articles is I think it was ESPN that Rob Manfred was quoted as saying, you know, yo, if we were so close, why didn't she just pony up the $100 million, like the city of Oakland? And then I think I saw a tweet. It was like, dude, Oakland was in a record deficit of $360 million at this time. Like, you know, they're not just going to pull it out. And, like, literally John Fisher could probably just scrounge that up, you know, make a couple phone calls. If not, just go to his bank account, ask mom and dad, and come up with that $100 million.
That shit is just an excuse, man. That shit is just an excuse now because...
Well, Manfred just wants to do his, Fisher's bidding. You know, Manfred is clearly a puppet at this point. I mean, I get
that's the job
of the commissioner is to... do it, but you would hope that there was a better steward of the game and not just a steward of 30 rich billionaires, you know, because that's ultimately what it comes down to. He doesn't care about the game, like, he just cares about making these 30 dudes happy, and then he's gonna retire, you know, in his huge penthouse apartment in New York and not give a shit, you know.
Like, we talked about on the last podcast, this has already paid huge dividends for them because, you know, they got Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin bent over backwards.
$700 million
to refurbish a stadium that I've been to plenty of games at Miller Park, and it's a gorgeous place to watch a baseball.
It was built in like 2000 or 2001, right?
It's like 20 years old. Insane. Then they got a new building for the Rays in St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
And, you know, they already have this $600 million in Baltimore. I mean, this is just going to pay off for them in spades.
Yeah, so. like we were saying on the podcast with Casey a couple of days ago, it's like, you know, other owners, or Rob Manfred now has like a card. He's like, yo, if you guys don't fall in line, or like to kind of like pitch to cities, like, hey, if you don't fall in line, you're going to lose your beloved team. And
they're, and, but for the grace of God, go you, as he points to Oakland. Yeah.
I mean, it's like 55 years, you know, so like what's, you know, a market like Tampa Bay, you know, what's 20 years of history? If 55 is nothing, what's 20? You know, it's like,
that's what, I mean, that would crush, that's like what crushes me is, you know, when I was Hal the Hot Dog Guy, I got to know so many fans, you know, and so many people would, you know, there would be so many people who would tell me, like, I've been sitting, like, I sat in this very seat on opening day 55 years ago when my dad brought me, you know? And, you know, obviously a lot of fans are not 55 years old, so they've been there for their entire lives.
I feel lucky. Yes, I'm 36, and I remember going to games when I was, like probably, like, 5 years old. I still lived in Alameda at the time, so it was, like, a 10-15-minute drive. But I look back at it now, I was like, holy shit, I saw like half of the A's time here, basically. And I got to see it. Or even more, like probably like a good 30 years of the 55 I actually have, you know, memories of. And it doesn't seem like it's that long, but now I'm looking back, I'm like, holy shit, yeah, I saw all this stuff, you know? Like late 90s, like Geronimo Barroa, like pretty much... Like, you know, I was watching the team before they traded Mark McGwire and stuff. I feel like the McGwire trade was the beginning of this. We'll trade literally anybody who's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it's just...
fuck. Still bitter. I don't know.
I mean, what makes me just mad is that, like, that this has died, I've said this so many times on the pod, this has died not because Oakland doesn't want it, not because Oakland hasn't done everything that they can to make it work, like, responsibly, but it's died because, you know, this Nepo baby, just like, he's like, ah, this was harder than I thought it was going to be, and I can, and, you know, so many of the quotes, I mean,
I just think that
John Fisher's quotes, like, I mean, hilarious quote where he was complaining multiple times about how he had to pay bonus money.
Yeah.
He should have had, if it wasn't for the draft, he would have had to pay the second draft pick. Yeah, instead, he only had to pay the sixth draft pick.
Yeah, he was, like, actually, like, happy.
I'm sure.
But even still, he was still complaining. He's like, fuck, we got to pay this top
draft pick. So, we're losing $5 million because we have to pay this.
Dude. You know, if you sell the team, you won't have to pay that guy.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously, the one that really just cut deep was... Excuse me. The one that really cut deep was when he said, "I view myself." You know, he's been coached. You know, Michelle, what's her name? Michelle Aker, is that?
Catherine Aker.
Catherine Aker. Yeah. Catherine Aker was in there. I'm saying, you know, remember, you're the steward of the team. So he's like, I view myself as the steward of this team.
Remember when
not
he did
the
interview with Raj Mathai and he had to write down the three names? It was like Zach Gelof, Tyler Soderstrom, Mark Kotze.
First base.
Yeah.
Second base.
Young guys were excited about it. The manager who's going to get fired like in a couple years.
Yeah,
or
and like, he's calling himself a steward, and he's like, and I'm excited to be that steward in a place where I think I'll make more money. Yeah. Like, what an asshole. Anyway.
Yeah, I think he's as bad as we thought, if not worse. You know, I think it's pretty much what we expect. Like, I haven't been caught off guard. Like, maybe a little thing. He's like, you know what? It was my decision, and I took him out of there. But then he also said, like, he also, in that interview with Mick Akers a couple weeks ago, they were like, how come you don't take questions? He's like, oh, because, you know, David Force and... who, like, Billy Bean and, you know, Dave Cavill, like, they're the ones making the decisions and, you know, but it's like, dude, well, you can't say you're the one making the decision and ripping the team out and then not, it's like, you know, there has to be some sort of accountability somewhere, you would hope.
That's not true at all. He makes the decisions. I remember talking to somebody who worked in the ticket office back right at the end of 2021, when they basically announced that there was going to be no more A's Access in 2022. Like everyone,
shout out to A's Access.
You still got the A's Access button. I have that button.
$3 hot dogs in 2019. That's like unheard of. Yeah.
I do have that physical button somewhere.
Yeah.
But you know, when they were like obviously going to raise prices, and I talked to somebody in the ticket office before the game, and he just looked, I was like, what happened? And he just looked at me, he goes, one man made this decision. So
that was a bad decision, Hal. You shouldn't have done that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I wanted more than $3 per hot dog.
Yeah. Like, how come Hal's are $4 with A's access?
Yeah. So, all right, before we get to the meat of this, I'll also say too, yesterday I went on a Twitter spree.
I was at a 49ers game and people were like, "What's up with your boy Hal?" People were asking me about your tweets.
I was tweeting like crazy. Well, so I think, you know, I think like where does the movement go from here? You know, I'm constantly saying
I'm the wrong guy to ask, dude. I'm checking out.
Listen, I'm constantly saying we need to think about helping fund the Nevada prop, but other than that. You know, one thing I think
because it sounds like that's the only. I mean, like,
it's the only way to stop them. You know, to force them to sell. But
to actually have any recourse, right, is to fund that schools over stadiums measure. As far as we know, yeah.
Yeah, but I think we should do a real boycott, and we should do it for opening day next season.
Yeah,
and we have a lot of time, and we should see. I mean, you know, I might be setting myself up for a lot of work,
they pulled it off for June 13th.
The 68s are an amazing resource. They are ready to go. They're mad. I think if we can figure out like a venue to like have an alternate event on opening night and we outdraw the A's, like
when do you
have a chance of robbing someone you hate of $2 million?
Yeah,
you know, not off.
Well, because they said June 13th, I think it was like 27,000, but they had a gate of like $811,000.
Yeah,
or something
that's not counting all the food. That's not counting all the parking. That's not counting the souvenirs. You know, an opening night, people buy a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I know, right? Like, yeah. from vending, opening night's great because it's a big crowd, yeah. But also everybody's buying on opening night.
Well, I was telling you before this off camera, I think there's going to be some hesitation on people's part because they're going to be like, this might be the last opening day I could ever attend. You know?
Yeah, and I understand that.
I'm still a sucker for the pageantry of opening day. Like, I know it's stupid. Basically, the only difference, they have the bunting. They have the red, white, and blue little things or whatever, and they come out for the opening lineup
Home Depot. I'll buy some bunting.
Yeah,
I'll buy some bunting wherever we do it.
It'll be opening day. We should do it the next day.
Yeah, so you know, we'll see if that happens or not. There's a lot of time.
But I understand, like, yeah, if you could somehow have an event that outdrew the actual game, that would be badass.
That would be great. It would be really sick. That would be another. That would be like you'd get that on the news, just like how you know these Unite the Bays and the reverse boycott got on the news. And
yeah, I was gonna say, like, shout out to the 68s. I think. For not basically having any voice in this thing, I guess they do have a small voice, but I don't know how much impact it'll have, just because, you know, it's hard to stop this huge machine that's MLB, but they made their voice, they made it happen this summer.
That's what I've always said. I've always
it worked, like, man, it worked, like, or at least if their goal was to get exposure, it worked, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've embarrassed the shit out of these guys, you know, and... you know, they're gonna live with that for a long time. You know, they both Cavill and Fisher. They are from the Bay. They live in the Bay, and I'm sure
Cavill's from like Cleveland. Or something.
Yeah, but he's lived here since he was in graduate school, so he's from the Bay.
We don't
now.
Claim him, bro. No.
Well, yeah. Fine. Well, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you mean. All their friends are from here. You know, like
he went to Stanford, which I'll gladly tell you.
Half the reason why John Fisher, I bet, did those interviews was I bet he was tired of like having his friends, you know, kind of like look at him and be like, "Why don't you just sell the team?" You know, like.
Yeah.
You know,
well, if he's trying to defend himself like he's a good person, I think he's failed.
He did not do himself
he's
any...
Not, he, like, I understand why they told Cavill to shut up, because I think that was like their soundest PR strategy, because every time him or
whenever
Fisher talks, like they just keep on digging the hole deeper, dude. It just gets worse, you know? Yeah.
It's been awful. But, you know, Jeff Passan of ESPN, mm-hmm. in his sort of end-of-season roundup,
That was good. That was a good.
He said, you know, he's like, you know, play of the season, blah blah blah. And so he said, quote of the season, sell the team.
Yeah.
So you know, I think from
shout out to Jeff Passan.
You know, we were here. We mattered. We will rise again as a sports team, as a sports city, and as a community.
Oakland Roots, baby.
No. Yeah, Oakland Roots fucking rule, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about Alex, right? So Alex,
far less interesting.
This is Alex, this has been your podcast. This was your baby. I'll say I think I had seen some of your tweets. I'd seen some of what you'd done on A's Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then at the beginning of the 2021 season, you reached out to me and you said, hey, man, like, would you come on my podcast? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I love talking about myself. But it was great, yeah, man. It was great. I had so much fun talking to you. And then after I talked to you, you know, I'd been...
Well, I remember we did playback. It was like me and Shannon were doing like
the alternate broadcast
of the games, and you would hop on and you would stay on for like innings. Like you were on for like over an hour, like a couple of hours, and I was like, oh shit, he's into this.
Yeah, dude. I'll say this, when you first interviewed me, I had a great time talking to you about it. And then, you know, when I was Hal the Hot Dog guy, my connection to the A's was I knew all the people behind home plate, right? Like all those
The ladies that are like right next to the dugout.
Oh yeah, dude.
Ladies.
Oh,
I forget their names, but they were super. I always talked to them before the game.
Yeah, they're great. Super sweet. They're great. They'll take one of those ladies takes pictures of me, like would take pictures like a creep, like from three sections away and develop them, like physically develop them and then hand them to me. And I'd be like, what am I supposed to do? So I got a bunch of them on my fridge.
Just pictures of yourself.
Yeah, but so you know, that was my connection to the A's, you know, was you know, I was vending every game, so never watched home games, and I wasn't really watching too many away games, but it was this great window into getting to understand A's fandom better. And so after we did it, I remember I went back and I listened to all of your back podcasts and stuff. And that was so much fun. And then I felt like following your Twitter account was great.
It used to be a good account. I used to put some effort into it.
You used to put a lot of effort into it. And like, you know, there'd be all these like great GIFs and you put all these highlight reels together.
That's why I did it, because I realized like, dude, nobody even documents what's happening with this team right now. It's like, it's just, and there's only two accounts basically who do video. It's the A's NBC account and the actual A's account. But there's like highlight restrictions there, so they couldn't do it. So I was like, dude, there's a massive void here. And there's literally no highlights on YouTube. Yeah. So I was like, I'll be like an A's historian. I was like, I mean, that's pretty much what you do now. You just put stuff on YouTube. So I did it for a couple of years, but then, after April 19th, I just...
Well, yeah. I mean, April 19th, we stopped. We, like, you know... Well, after June 15th.
Or June 13th. Yeah,
when they stopped, after like June 13th. Yeah, when Vegas voted for it, it was tough. But yeah, I just want to know... I want to know more about Alex. So you're starting to get into it. When you were five, you started going to games?
Yeah, so I was born in Oakland. I was raised in Alameda. Until I was about 6 years old, and I moved to Moraga. So I've been in the East Bay my whole life. And my brother, he's like 2 years older than me. He's obsessed with the A's. And of course, when you're a little kid, you just follow whatever he does. So, but I don't know. I just remember from a very young age, the Coliseum gave me this special feeling that I can't duplicate anymore. Like, I knew I was just having a great time. Like, A's game, Raiders game, you know, running out to the field for fireworks, like, whatever it was. There was nothing like going to a Coliseum game. I remember they still had the orange seats when I was still there. So this is before like the 96 Mount Davis, you know, renovation or whatever. But yeah, and then I really became obsessed when I was like 6th or 7th grade, like around 2000, 2001, because they had those incredible teams. And it doesn't really stop. And then I realized what journalism was. So like in middle school, I started doing sports journalism, and pretty much.
And you did sports. You started doing journalism because you wanted to do sports journalism, right?
Yeah, I started writing for my school newspaper in 7th grade. Yeah, doing sports. Yeah.
And so were you like writing about? Were you writing about like the A's and the Raiders and stuff?
Yeah, the Raiders. I remember, yes, I think my very first article ever, it was like the 2000, they were doing the Sydney Olympics. So I was writing something about the Sydney Olympics, but I don't know, it was like, you know, 7th grade school newspaper, right. So it's like nothing. But that was my first, yeah, and then I started covering high school games when I was in high school. And then my first job out of college was to cover the A's for MLB.com as an intern for the summer. It was in 2010, and I was like, holy shit, I want to be a beat writer. That was always my dream. I wanted to cover the team day to day. And as I got older, I realized I wanted to travel the country on somebody else's dime. That was like the real reason I wanted to do it. But that never really happened. Like, I think there at its peak, there was probably 4 or 5 beat writers. Now there's only 2, so it's like,
kind I'm not sure there's even any beat. There's like,
I mean, it's Martine. Actually, it's pretty much Martine.
Who's paid for by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So. There's no independent beat writers for the A's. We'll get into that. But, yeah, like, yeah. So you interned for the A's out of college or before college?
Out of college. So they have they have a program, like a summer program, where they go around the college campuses talking to people. And so I got offered the A's job. I was like, hell yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, this is my dream.
It's
so,
a dream.
So, yeah, I was like 23, and I think I was telling you last week, it was like my first week I ever worked. the last week, I thought it was going to be like a lazy Sunday or whatever, and then
Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day. Yeah, Dallas Braden. There was like 12,000 people there. Dallas Braden threw a perfect game, and I was like, in the 7th inning, they were like, all right, you got to write the game story. I was like, what? Like,
how can I write the game story in the 7th inning?
I was like, I wasn't expecting this, so, like, I don't know. It was a fun introduction, but I remember asking Dallas some questions after that game, and of course, you know, there's only been, I think, 24 or 25 of them, so I'm probably never going to cover one ever again. And it was like I was in the middle of that opportunity, like right when it started. Yeah.
Yeah. So then where did you end up after that? How did you, because you've still been doing sports journalism?
Yeah, basically like since then, since 2013. Yeah. So after that, I wrote for a newspaper in Yuma, Arizona for 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Yuma Sun, baby. Lettuce country.
Yeah, I don't even know what's down there. It's just dirt, man. I mean, that's like why I left.
I think if you, whenever you buy lettuce in the winter and spring, it's all from Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah. But I mean, the cool thing was that Jose Canseco and his twin brother were player manager, player coach, whatever. So he was 47 years old at the time. So I got to cover Jose Canseco when he was 47. He put himself in a pitch, like, but he was injured all the time and shit. And at one point I went to his house and interviewed him and his brother at his house. So that was pretty cool. Like, I'll always remember that experience. I remember Tony Phillips. He died a couple of years ago, years ago, but he's an old A's infielder. He came out there. He was 48, and he was playing for the team too. So I was like,
"Oh man,
what is going?" It was actually a very cool experience. But eventually, like, the heat and the lack of anything to do, I was like, "All right, I tried." And then I got an internship with the Niners, and then since then, I've worked for pretty much like every Bay Area news group organization. Or like, MLB.com, The Athletic, Associated Press,
all over. It's just, well, let's talk about what it's like to try and cover the A's, but like it's just a tough time to be in journalism and in sports journalism.
Well, yeah, even in like the past like 13 years I've been involved, it's you can see the opportunities just shrinking, you know? I mean, take the A's beat, for example. Like, when I first started, I think there was probably like four or five, because Casey was like the A's insider for NBC, and he's not there. There was a writer for MLB, a writer for the Chronicle, Bay Area News Group, some other blogs, I think Sports Illustrated had John Hickey was there for them, but yeah, and now there's, you know, one guy who covers the team, and he's like a team employee, basically.
Yeah, he's a team employee, so it's not, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it's
I had a freelance for him, like, last week, and I'm like, I'm doing PR for them. You know, I couldn't even really mention, like, Bob Melvin was back, I couldn't mention, like, yo, he left because there was a shit show was impending, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's the same thing with, I mean, it's what's just been tough is just seeing how much damage they've done to this fan base, right? The fan base used to be huge. It used to be the East Bay, right? Yeah. Yeah. And it's gotten to a point, the ownership,
I mean, I think in the 90s they drew over 2 million, which, I mean, I know the 3 million is like the marker now, but
compared to other things, they were at the top of the heat, man. They were in the top 5.
I think in like 90 or 91 they were like at the close of like leading the league in payroll. Like that was with the Walter Haas, his family, and I think their attendance was really good. Like they had 2.3 million, I want to say, something like that, and they haven't touched that.
Yeah, they were crushing the Giants. They were crushing the Giants. The Giants were getting crushed so bad.
Were they? I don't know. Were they ever?
They beat the Giants.
I didn't know that.
They beat the Giants for about 5 years straight then. Okay. And the Giants were looking to move to St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
They were going to be the Tampa Bay Giants.
I mean, there's that picture of like Brandon Crawford, like as a little kid, saying like, "Don't sell the team," and then and it's like it's all repeating, dude. It's all happening again, dude.
Well, except for John Fisher, then was part of the group that saved the Giants.
Yeah, that's true.
What a mess.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the only public appearances Fisher's made, or I remember, I think it was last year, he was at a game with Larry Bear, like sitting in a box with them. So it's like, oh, they're just chumming it up. Like even though, like Larry Bear's lawyer, Ronald Van Buskirk, is trying to stop this, like, with East Oakland Stadium Alliance, stand up for San Jose. They're still chummy, so I guess it doesn't really matter, you know? I don't think John really cares if they stay in Oakland or not.
So tell me about founding. Why did you start? It was first a blog, the Ricky Henderson of blogs, the greatest of all blogs. Right?
Yeah.
Trademark.
Yeah.
and then it became the Ricky Henderson of all podcasts, the greatest of all podcasts.
It was just like a
trademark.
Yeah. We haven't asked Ricky yet.
Come at us, bro.
Yeah. 2020.
So 2020,
was like really
you
good,
had a lot of time in your hands.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? There's nobody doing highlights up to the standard that I think is worth doing. I was like, I'm going to do it. And that's funny because I was just streaming the game, cutting my own highlights, but then I got courted by NBC Sports Bay Area. And then once I got hired, the social media manager was like, dude, we've been seeing your account. Like, you've just been ripping our feed off this whole time, huh? I was like, oh, this is a fucking con. You wanted me to stop doing these highlights. So during the pandemic, I had a lot of time, but then the past couple of years, you know, I've had full-time jobs. So it was like trying to do this on top of the job is hard, but so that's why I'm kind of like hit or miss. Like sometimes I'm really into it. Other times I don't have time for it, but.
And it's tough. Yeah. It's tough because, you know, I would say, you know, before I joined you, I mean, like there's Ace Cast, which is basically, you know, Pravda. You know, it's government A's radio.
Yeah. And it's like daily too. It's not.
It's
like,
daily, and it's you know.
It doesn't have a long shelf life.
Yeah, who cares, right?
I was trying to do content that had a good shelf life. Right. Like people know who Ken Korak is, but like, do people know like where his trademark? You know, the lights are starting to take effect. How did that come to be? You know, like I wanted to learn that myself.
You started to become like the A's historian. I think there was. You know, so I remember when I was trying to get into, you know, trying to like learn more and stuff, you know, just was trying to voraciously consume more A's stuff, especially when they're good, you know. There was like A's Cast, fine, right? Like we didn't even have like a real radio station, right? There's no company. The fan base has been so strangled. That like,
dude, there was one year where they tried to go online only, and they're like, everybody's like, no.
They tried to go online, yeah, like people still drive cars. Literally, no radio station wants to have talk about the A's, right? So like, they did it themselves.
Yeah, and working of course, at a current radio station right now, I can confirm. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, of course. Like, when the A's produce it, it's like, I mean, nobody, like, everyone wants to know about the stuff that they don't talk about. You know?
Yeah. Fine. People want to know about the stadium, but people like. Like, if I wrote an article on NBC Sports Bay Area and I wrote about the stadium, I might get decent numbers. But if I wrote, like, oh, Zach Eloff's having a great homestand, like, nobody's clicking on that.
Right. Yeah, and nobody
cares about their actual product, you know?
Yeah. And so, why would you care about it if you think that they're going to trade them, or Zach Goff's going to have Las Vegas on his chest, you know? But, okay, so then there's that. Then there's Jason. Well, he had... the Lockdown A's.
Yeah, Lockdown A's, yeah.
And then after that, I just felt like it was definitely your podcast. Yeah. You know, and what's so frustrating about it all is that like you're putting out such an amazing product, putting out all these great tweets, and it's just they've taken the fandom and just you know, strangled it in a bathtub. And so there's just like if you had the number two you know, like Detroit Tigers podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like you'd have some good stuff, right? Like if you had the number two Mets podcast, like you'd be doing it. But But we're just, what's frustrating is there's just not, there just wasn't, there's just like not enough.
Yeah, there's not no appetite for A's news.
There's no appetite for A's news because it's all so depressing. Everybody, no one wants to fall in love with these players.
It's like this negative feedback loop. Like, it starts with the ownership. Like, ownership doesn't put money into the product, so the product's not great. And then media companies start covering less because fans don't care, so there's less interest.
Yeah.
And then the media attention stops, and then the fan interest keeps on dwindling. The product gets worse, so it's just like this feedback loop of, like, everything just getting worse and worse. And that's been happening for decades now, you know? It's like, you know, when you trade away Tim Hudson and Mark Mulder and in the same offseason, like, people are going to be shocked and stop coming to your games, you know? And then, you know, you might win them back again, but it's like, you can only, you know, how many, they've done that maybe, what, 4, 5, 6 times since the past 20 years. And people just are like, you know, you run out of patience eventually, and it's just not worth your time or commitment. If they're not going to commit to you, then what's the point, you know? Yeah.
You know, I think, when I sit here, I mean, you know, we've talked about being mad and being sad about everything that's happened to the team a lot, but I remember we got a drink at a bar at the beginning of this season. So that was before we knew the news that they were going to leave.
Vegas,
But, like, you know, it was after I'd called you up and I said, Alex, let me on your podcast. I want to be your co-host just because I love your podcast so much. Yeah. I want to make sure it gets... You know, we keep doing it. So we were getting a drink and, you know, and you were just saying, Hal, I just want to, the thing I want from my life is I just want to be able to cover my favorite sports team and, you know, make enough money to afford dinner, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so frustrating because you think like that should be possible. Like if you have so much talent for this and so much passion and you saw this thing that didn't exist, like being the like historian of the Oakland A's, like that should be a thing that you can buy dinner with.
Yeah, but people just don't care, dude. Like, I don't know. There's just not like the most support I feel like I've seen for A's fans has just been since like everything's, you know, gone south and hit the fan, like all the sell the team stuff. But it's almost like, you know, it's too little, too late kind of a thing, you know? And I don't think anybody realized fully what was going on here. They just... And like the A's are good at, like, pushing out this small market narrative, you know? And then you take a step back, you're like, dude, some of the richest zip codes in America are right here in the East Bay.
It's insane. Like,
or
they,
in the Bay Area.
They
know?
Should
like,
not
you,
be a small
you have
market
access,
team.
Yeah, no, you have access. Like, even if you have less people, like, the people who are here have probably, like, you know, 2 times more money than the average person in Texas or... You know, whatever it is, and so the whole small market thing kind of, I think it probably started from Moneyball, you know, because that's like easy way to describe it. But then, then you look back at the actual market, it's like it's not a small market. It's the top 10 for sure. Even if you're splitting it, you know, like there's so much money here. So
there's so much money. There's so much prestige. There's so much power. There's so much history. You know, I was getting a drink last night with a friend of mine who grew up in Livermore, and you know, he went to a ton of A's games. He just read that ESPN article and he was just really steamed and mad about it. And you know, I just was sitting there feeling a little bit sorry for myself too, right? Where just like, you know, I feel like you should be able to, you know, make this work with the kind of great work that you did, like the incredible luck of somehow becoming a semi-famous stadium vendor that like people cared about. I mean, it was what was so lucky about it was being able to spread joy. Like, there's just you don't get to do that's not replicatable. It's not like what I had there is not replicatable anywhere else. It's not something that I'll ever have the chance to do again. You know, you can bring joy to people in your lives, but like, It was such a like a privilege to be able to just like be part of stranger lives, you know, like that. And it was so much fun, and it's so frustrating to like see it end this way, you know, to see it end with this like just this baby, this Nepo baby who's just like, I'm taking my ball and going to Las Vegas, and like, who cares? And And if you tell me that someone else could make it happen, then you're wrong, whatever.
Well, that's what I was telling. I think I told Dan Moore this. It was like, it's like the Hamburglar is robbing your house. Like, totally incompetent idiot is robbing your house, and but you're powerless to stop them. You're just like, well, fuck, I'm tied up. I can't do anything. And the Hamburglar is just taking all your stuff. And you see him, he looks like a mascot. He looks like a dumb idiot. But you can't stop the guy. Oh, it's like, we're getting robbed by the Hamburglar,
it's
dude.
So frustrating. Yeah, yeah. But you know, onward, yeah. Onward to, you know, maybe not what I think we would all have first choices for what we do. But
yeah, I'm, I mean, so if excited. I had my way, if I had a dream job, I'd be covering the A's, you know, 6 months out of the year, then spending winter in like South America or something like that.
Be so, cool.
Yeah,
it'd be cool.
That'd be great.
But you're gonna be in you have your flight. You're moving to Mexico.
Yeah, so I'm
at
moving
the
to
end
Mexico,
of the season.
Yeah. October 4th. Yep, I'm heading out. Got a 1-way ticket to Mexico. So yeah, we'll see.
How's your Spanish?
Yes, más o menos.
Okay,
yes.
it's gonna become better
yeah,
over
yeah,
the next couple
yeah.
months. And so, what's your plan?
We are yet to find out. I'm gonna take like the first month off to just kind of dick around and
heck
have
yeah.
some fun. And then after that, I'll probably because I have enough money saved up for I could probably just live a year, just be an absolute bum and just do nothing. Uh-huh. But you know, I kind of want to not just waste all my money in a year.
Sounds like a plan.
So I'll probably just find some sort of digital work. Who knows? Maybe keep doing the pod. You know.
Yeah, I think
maybe we'll you could come down to Mexico. We can just do the pod down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Give the report from Oaxaca.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just gonna do a little. I'm just gonna be at a little beach town of like a few, like probably like 2,000 or 3,000 people, and.
Cool, man.
Just unplugging from social media. You know, I've been working in social media for the past 13 years. I don't think it's good for mental health for anybody to be doing that.
It can't be.
So. Yeah, just like, and going back to being a fan, and just like, once the game's off, just turning off the TV, and that's it, instead of having to like, you know,
great.
That's when your workday starts, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to that, and then just trying to live a simpler life, basically. I'm just going to be, yeah, probably like, try to learn how to surf, do some hiking.
Great.
I don't know. It's like, really simple life. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, this pod may or may not die again.
We'll
I think
see.
We'll have.
Well, it always keeps on.
We're gonna have. Yeah, we're gonna have at least one more episode.
Keeps on going. Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday. So Sunday, we're filming this Friday. Sunday, I think we're gonna go out to the park
yeah.
and interview people in the parking lot again
yeah.
and just sort of cry.
It's gonna
with
be
them.
Great. It's gonna be.
It's gonna
be
sad.
Fun. I think it'll be fun.
It'll
dude.
Be fun.
It'll,
it'll
be,
fun.
Be
sad, but
it'll be fun.
But yeah. we'll hopefully, you know, especially if we keep the. If we keep the pressure on in the off season, maybe we'll do one before the owners meeting. Maybe
yeah.
you know, I'll be the American correspondent.
Well, see, that's what I was saying.
Send me
people,
to Nashville.
People are saying November, but I think I googled it. It's like December 4th to December 7th this year is actually when it is. So I don't know if are they going to call a special
meeting.
They'll
probably just do it over Zoom
yeah.
and just to screw
yeah,
everyone,
call
whatever.
It, yeah.
But we'll figure it out. And you know, the A's community might be done. But the Oakland sports community, that's the thing we cheer, right?
Yeah.
Let's go Oakland. So
yeah.
we're going to keep cheering that. We'll cheer it at Roots games. We'll cheer it at other teams' games that may or may not exist yet. And, you know, they may or may
Oakland
not be
Roots
Major League
Oakland
Baseball.
Soul, baby. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They may or may not be whatever. But, you know, this community is too important and too tight-knit, I think, to die by John Fisher's hands.
Yeah,
so
I would hope so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for letting me on your pod.
Well, thank you for yeah letting me on your pod, dude. Yeah,
yeah,
this is
for
your
tonight,
pod now.
For tonight's
yeah.
For tonight only.
All right.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks so much, guys. We'll talk to you again next week with some fan interviews from the last game at the Coliseum for the 2023 season.
Yep.
See ya.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.